Man, I like Christmas songs. My name is Paul Jorgensen, and I am serving as interim pastor during this transition time at Timberwood Church. The plan is for me to be here on Sundays and Mondays. The rest of the week, I teach at a school up on the Leech Lake Reservation. If you'd like to talk, I would be glad to sit down and talk with you. I also want to say welcome to everybody who's watching online. We're glad you're here today. It's going to be a good day. In getting to know Timberwood Church, I took some time on a Wednesday night to just walk around and see what was happening. And it was fun. I mean, the room across the way there, it was absolutely full of middle school and high school students worshiping. And then one of the students actually did the Bible teaching that night, which I just thought was really great. The kids' rooms were full down there. Kids were learning. I looked in the nursery. I heard animal noises coming out of the nursery, and I looked in, and there was a man about my age sitting on the floor with like three kids reading him a book, obviously about farm animals based on the noises he was making. And yeah, it was just awesome, you know, to see that type of thing, to see so many people in this room that night learning about 1 Corinthians, to see people out in the atrium or lobby or whatever it is you call it here. Praying with each other, talking with each other, and just so many good things happening. And I know that it has at times been difficult the last few months. I understand that. But at the same time, God is at work, and God is changing lives. And as we come to the year, I just want to ask you to consider that as you are considering year-end giving, to help these kinds of ministries which are making such a difference happen. Anyway, it's Advent. We talked about peace 3 weeks ago. No, we talked about hope 3 weeks ago. And we talked about peace. And then we talked about joy. And this week, we're going to talk about love. And there's lots of stories that get told at Christmas time about love. One comes from December 1914. World War I had just gotten started, and on either Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, the accounts aren't exactly clear, English soldiers heard something coming from the German trenches. Sounded like this. Stille Nacht, heilige Nacht, alles schläft, einsam wacht. And from the English side came, glory streams from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is born, Christ the Savior is born. Now you know why I don't work with the worship team. But be that as it may, the shooting stopped. Soldiers began exchanging presents with the enemy. There were reports of pickup soccer games in no man's land. They helped each other bury the dead. And it's called the Christmas Truce of 1914. Depending on where you were on the line, it lasted 12 hours to almost a week. And then the carnage started again. And I remember hearing that story when I was a kid, and people saying, wasn't that great for a day? They stopped shooting each other. And I'm the person, I'd be like the kid in the Emperor's New Clothes who would say, wait a minute, he doesn't have any clothes on. You know, that's me, and that's the way I'm wired. And I'm thinking, wait a minute, why didn't they just stop shooting? And what we had there, I believe, was an event of love. And what God shows us when it comes to love is a lifetime of love. And I appreciated what was shared this morning about the fact that God, in this incredible act of love, sent his Son to the earth so that we could be saved from our sins. And the question is, how do we live this out? And it's not hard to do events. It's okay to do that, you know, and almost check it off the box. But what does it look like to live a life of love? And I want to look at two people today. We're going to start out probably the two central people in the whole Christmas story. We're going to start in Luke chapter 1. And I would just like to read, starting in Luke 1, 20, 28. Actually, 26. In the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. He came to her and he said, "Greetings, O favored one, the Lord is with you." And she was greatly troubled at this saying and tried to discern what sort of greeting this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David. He will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." This is what the Jewish people have been waiting for hundreds of years. Look at Mary's response. Mary said to the angel, "How will this be, since I'm a virgin?" And the angel answered her, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you. The power of the Most High will overshadow you. Therefore, the child to be born will be called Holy, the Son of God. And behold, your relative Elizabeth in her old age did conceive a son. And then this is the sixth month with her who was called barren. For nothing is impossible with God." And here's the kicker. Mary said, "Behold, I am the servant of the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. I love that last phrase. We're going to get back to that. But just a little bit about Mary, which might be review for all of us, but it's not a bad thing to have some review. Given the culture of the time, Mary was probably in her mid-teens, eighth or ninth grader, if you want to put it in 21st century terms. This was not unusual back then for a woman to be engaged to be married when they were that age. Joseph would have been quite a bit older in all likelihood because it was the responsibility of the man at the time to put together a career of some kind, to build a house, to get ready. They probably were betrothed as an agreement from the fathers between the two of them. And for Mary knew that Joseph was a good man. And we've got to understand that this announcement on God's part to Mary just kind of shook things upside down incredibly. You know, what does she say? "I'm the Lord's servant. May it be according as you have said." She understood something. She understood that if we love God, and I believe she really did love God, I believe that she understood that love serves. And it means we step into a life of servanthood. And you think about what Mary went through. I mean, there was this wonderful thing of having a child. This was great. But at least at the beginning, it put her relationship to Joseph in jeopardy, to the point where he was planning on divorcing her. And even after, when they were married, she had to go have that baby in another town, a town 130, 140 miles away. And, you know, we have these pictures of Mary riding a donkey and Joseph walking along. We don't know how they got to Bethlehem. Maybe she rode a donkey. That's possible. Maybe they walked. Was she in the last stages of a pregnancy? That'd be tough. Or maybe they rode in a wagon. We don't. Any one of those forms of transportation would be rough. And here she is, over 100 miles away from her family, and she's going to have this baby. And she's going to have this baby in poverty. There was no place for them to have this baby. And lots of times, again, we have a picture of a stable. The Bible doesn't actually say there was a stable. It just says there was a manger, which is a feeding trough. And she had to lay her baby there. We do know that they were living in poverty because when it came time for them to dedicate Jesus at the temple, they came and they brought two doves, which was an allowance in the Old Testament for people who didn't have any funds, who couldn't afford a lamb. They couldn't afford a lamb. And in addition to that, shortly thereafter, after the visit of the wise men, they had to leave. They had to become refugees. They had to go to Egypt. We don't know for how long. But go to another country and live there, another language, another culture, try to raise a son, only there for a little bit of time, and then go back to Israel again. And it didn't stop there. I'm the Lord's servant. May it be done to me according to your will. Also included family tensions, because Joseph and Mary, after Jesus was born, they had four boys, we know that, and at least two girls, we know that, and there were tensions in the family. Boys didn't get along with Jesus. No? It's one thing to have an older brother who thinks he's right all the time. It's another thing to have an older brother who is right all the time. And I go, well, imagine, you know, the vase got broken and Mary comes in. Okay, who broke the vase? Dead silence, crickets. You know, and then she turned, Jesus, who broke the vase? You know. In fact, they did not have good relationships with Jesus until he actually rose from the dead. And as a mom, the moms in the room know that when your kids are having trouble with each other, you carry it in your heart. You just do. Mary was there when her son was crucified. All these things were wrapped up in that statement. I am the Lord's servant. May it happen to me according to your will. Because you see, love, true love, love as a lifestyle serves. Serves. And does the hard things. And we all know that because many of us have done hard things because we loved somebody. And we've done that. And yet at the same time, it's easy if we're not careful as we're following Jesus to let our acts of love become events rather than a way of life. That was Mary. You move on. I'm going to read the account from Joseph 2, Matthew chapter 1. Where it says this. All this has already happened now with Mary. Now it's Joseph's turn. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, that's huge when you think about it, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son. They shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, and here's the kicker on Joseph, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Joseph, as I mentioned, probably was quite a bit older than Mary, maybe upwards 25, 30 years old, somewhere around in there. That was pretty common practice back then. What's interesting to me is Joseph gets this bombshell dropped on him, which actually Matthew talked about a couple of weeks ago, and his first act isn't to somehow get revenge, save face, that type of thing. His first act, because he was a just man, because he was a good man, is to figure out a way to keep Mary from being shamed by the community. And so that phrase is in there, he resolved to divorce her quietly. Quite a number of Bible scholars actually say that divorcing quietly means that Joseph was willing to pick up the responsibility for her and make sure that she was cared for materially as long as she lived or as long as he lived. That's huge when you think about it. And then he has this dream where the angel says, don't be afraid to do what you planned on doing, because God is in this one. And in other words, and what does it say then after Joseph woke from the dream? He did it. He obeyed. Because sometimes when we serve, we're not quite sure how to best serve somebody, and that's when love does the second thing. It obeys. It seeks what God wants and seeks to obey what God wants done. Living a life of love. And with the Christmas story, which we celebrate in December here, in all likelihood, Jesus probably wasn't born in December. He was probably born in April, May, somewhere around in there. There's plenty of clues in the Bible that have to do with that, but we do it now. And that's not a bad thing. That's an okay thing because we're remembering. But it gives us the opportunity, especially as the new year is approaching, at least for us, to take stock and say, how am I doing in terms of living a life of love? Am I serving people in the way that God has served me? Am I obeying in the way that Jesus obeyed? And if I'm not, what could I do in order to make a difference? I mean, you know, none of us, unless there's somebody very unusual in the room, is going to change the world. But we will have an influence on the lives of the people that God has put into our lives. And we can make a difference by choosing to approach God with two things. Number one, I'm the Lord's servant. May it be done to me as according to your will. And secondly, doing what he says to do. I was talking with somebody this morning out in the, I got to find out what the word for that big room in the fireplace is out there. I'll find out sooner or later, okay. And they were saying, yeah, you know what I heard once? They said, sometimes when we ask God questions, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says no, and sometimes he says, I got a better idea. I love that. Because usually my ideas are never as good as God's ideas. But the only way that I'm going to get God's ideas is if, A, I'm willing to serve, and B, if I'm willing to obey. In Philippians chapter 2, we have the ultimate example of what this means, coming out of love. It talks about Jesus, and it actually says, have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Jesus Christ. In other words, think the way Jesus thought. And it goes on and it says that, you know, he was in the form of God. He did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped. In other words, he didn't demand his rights. I'm wondering how many problems we could avoid if we just didn't demand our rights or what we think are our rights. But he emptied himself, taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. There's those two words. You know, he took the form of a servant, he was willing to serve, and he was willing to be obedient to the point of death, and that resulted in our salvation. That resulted in us being able to step into an eternity with God our Father, with our sins forgiven, and new life and all those things. Why? Because Jesus did those two very things. He served. He served, and he obeyed. What is it saying here? Some of the attitudes we can have as we serve and obey. Verse 3, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Man, that's hard to do. That's really hard to do. But that's what we're called to do. And somehow when we choose to do that, the power of God is unleashed, and amazing things happen in the lives of other people. Consider others more significant than ourselves. And verse 4, let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Well, to do that, we've got to serve, and to do that, we've got to obey. We've got to do both of those things. even though it may cost something. In fact, I'll scratch the word may there. It will cost us something, because love always costs us something. But that's not a bad thing. It cost Jesus his time in heaven. It cost Jesus 30 plus years on the earth. It cost Jesus having to grow up in a family where his brothers didn't like him. So yeah, it will cost. It cost Mary, it cost Joseph. But what a difference. I don't know what would have happened if Mary had said, nah, I don't think so. You know, thanks for the visit, Gabriel. See you later. You know, I know this gal down the street. She'd probably work out really well for you. I don't know what would happen. I don't understand how God's sovereignty relates to that. I do have an idea of what might have happened if Joseph had said, no, I'm just too hurt. I'm too disappointed. This woman has broken my trust, and I am not going to take her as my wife. But look at what happened in the history of the world, because the two of them were willing to love in that way, to serve and to obey in a lifestyle of love. I was speaking at a church in Broomfield, Colorado. And I didn't know this was coming. I was there as a visiting missionary speaker, which means you show a bunch of pictures and tell people stories. But I was there, and they were having a special prayer service in the service. This just absolutely blew me away, because a woman in that church was in need of a kidney, and another woman in the church was going to give her a kidney. Okay, they weren't related at all. They weren't family members in any way. In fact, there were some family members of this woman who needed the kidney who wouldn't do it. And she would. And I had a chance to talk with her. And I said, I got to ask the obvious question. The obvious question is, why are you doing this? And her response was, she's my sister. I love her. And God says we're supposed to meet each other's needs. Now, needless to say, the donor's family was also not very happy with her. I mean, I'll be honest about that. But she was going to do it anyway. Why? Because this is what God had told her she needed to do. Now, you think about a lifestyle of love, because this is going to affect her for the rest of her life. And to be a part of that prayer service and have those two women sitting up on chairs in the platform, and they asked me to come up and help pray. I wasn't the only one up there. But I thought, I have no business being here. This is a level of love I can't even begin to comprehend. And it was almost like in all of that, God was saying, you don't need to comprehend that at this point. I'm not asking you to do this. I'm going to ask you to do something else. Will you be willing to do it? Will you be a servant? And will you obey me? That's what I'm asking you to do. And that's a great thing, because God meets us right where we're at and then takes us into that next step where he says, I got a better idea. And I just want to encourage everybody this Christmas, there'll be lots of opportunities. I mean, there'll be gifts, and there'll be parties, and there'll be programs, and all those kinds of things. And those things are great. Those things aren't bad. They're wonderful. We should celebrate. It's really important. But there may be opportunities to step even deeper into a lifestyle of love, a lifestyle that serves, and a lifestyle that obeys. And then watch what God does. The thing that I've noticed about the Word of God, and you read through it, read the whole Bible this afternoon, you'll see this. Whenever God wants to do something, he always calls somebody. And here's the crazy thing that I've noticed. He almost always calls the wrong people. He calls the people we would never call, ever. And yet that's what he does. And in the process, he gets himself glory and does great things. And I just want to encourage every one of us to take a look at, hey, how could I serve this Christmas, and how could I obey this Christmas? And beyond that, moving on into 2026, how can I continue a lifestyle of serving and obeying and watching God do great things? I'm going to ask you to do something that I do every week. Could we take a little time? And just simply ask God that wonderful question, which is, based on everything I just heard, what would you like me to do? Based on everything I heard, what would you like me to do? Let's take some time just to reflect, listen to God, and then if God tells you something, I would encourage you to take the step and simply do it. So let's take some time right now. Lord God, it's Christmas time for us here. You know that. It's a busy time. You know that. And for a lot of us, we're just tired. Got a lot going on. And I want to ask that you meet us in the middle of that lot going on and minister to us as only you can do with your love that you showed us. And then help us, as we hear your still small voice, to step out in faith and watch you do great things through us as we love imperfectly, but we love the way you loved. Thank you that we can celebrate together. Thank you that we can remember together. Thank you that we can serve and obey together. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
I invite you to please stand and sing together the love of God.